President Obama heads to Foreclosure Central with a new plan to help homeowners.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will be in Nevada today, where 60% of homeowners are underwater. They owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth. The president is expected to unveil plans to help those underwater homeowners refinance at a lower interest rate. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The White House wants more people to be able to take advantage of the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The president himself unveiled the program in early 2009, but HARP never took off. The Wall Street Journal reports the rules for HARP will be changed, eliminating limits on just how far underwater you can be to qualify. You still have to have a job and be current on your loan, but you won't have to go through an appraisal process, and loan fees for some borrowers will be dropped. Mark Zandi is chief economist at Moody's Analytics. He says the revamping of HARP is a small step towards stabilizing the housing market.
We're not going to find a magic bullet, so we've got to string together a number of these kinds of things that when you add it up, they make a difference. And so this is a very positive step, but we've got to take a lot more steps like this.
Zandi estimates that if interest rates stay low, the changes being announced today could lead to more than a million additional refinanced loans. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
We've been telling you over the last couple of weeks how the big banks are doing. Well, today we're going to get earnings from several community banks. There are about 7,000 of them in total, though they only account for about 20% of total bank assets in this country. 84 community banks have failed this year. Frank Sorrentino is chairman and CEO of North Jersey Community Bank, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So when I hear community bank, I sort of think of the bank down on the corner that's still in business of making loans to people and businesses and not involved in a bunch of risky stuff. Is that true?
That's pretty much it. Our business plan is very simple. We take in deposits from our local market and we make loans in those same markets to the same people.
And that's a business model that works?
It does. People don't realize this, but there are about 7,800 banks in this country, and about 7,500 of those are community banks.
Are you being helped or hurt by the Fed's extremely low interest rate policy?
Yes. certainly lower interest rates, you know, I think are good for the economy in general to a point. And so they will help people to refinance and be able to take money that they would normally pay in interest and put that money back into the economy. But very low interest rates and for a very prolonged period of time will actually hurt bank earnings capabilities, which if banks don't earn money, they can't grow and make more loans.
The big banks have been in the news a lot in the last couple of weeks about these debit card fees, $5 a month at Bank of America. Are community banks like yours going to have to do the same thing?
No, I don't think they will. What you're seeing the bigger banks do is what they've been doing for the last 30 years, which is some bean counter in some office is looking at a spreadsheet, doing an algorithm, and just figuring out how can we get every single last penny out of every one of our clients. And when it doesn't work out the way they'd like because of regulation, then they will shift and move to accommodate their profit models, not their customer.
But why wouldn't you be doing the same thing? If that's the business model that they feel they need to use, why don't you do that same thing?
Because that's not our business model. Our business model is to take care of our client, and we don't make decisions across the entire country, across an entire product line. Remember, the profit center for us is more customer relationships.
Frank Sorrentino is the chairman and CEO of North Jersey Community Bank. Thanks so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up about 2% in Tokyo, down slightly in Frankfurt as Europe continues to wait for a solid plan to deal with the debt crisis. Here in this country, the biggest ever opening for a horror film. Paranormal Activity 3 brought in $54 million over the weekend. Nothing scary about Wall Street Friday. The Dow climbed 267 points, about 2.3%, to close at 11,808.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com.
They're counting votes today in Tunisia, the first of the Arab Spring countries to head to the polls. The turnout over the weekend was 90%. We're going to talk now with Inel Tarfa, who is a 25-year-old business school student in Tunisia. He's with us from the capital, Tunis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, this revolution that started in Tunisia started because of economic reasons, to some degree anyway. Do you think that as a result of these elections, that those concerns, those economic concerns, will be addressed?
Well, to be perfectly honest with the results we're seeing so far with Ennahda leading, I don't think it's really that their main concern. Although all parties say we'll improve economics, etc., but I don't really trust them.
You think the party, this moderate Islamic party that is leading, is not going to address those concerns?
Well, not directly. I'd say they sure will try to appease people, but that won't be their main concern at the long term.
You are a business school student. Do you plan to stay in Tunisia when you're finished with school or leave?
Well, so far I don't really know. I'll have to finish my degree first, and then I'll see if I can have an opportunity outside of Tunisia or not. We'll see. I don't know yet.
Inel Tarfa, 25-year-old business student, joining us from Tunis, Tunisia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this programming note about another big international story, the European debt crisis. Later today on Marketplace, Kai Rizdal will kick off what we're calling Greek Week, a week-long look at the threat Greece poses to the economy. Kai will be hosting today from Athens, a place not as far away from your own finances as you might think. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
By now, you've heard all kinds of explanations of the European debt crisis, but I guarantee you, you've never heard it this way.
Well, I'm thinking of Oedipus, and I'm reminded of Oedipus as a kind of a Eurozone.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Marketplace in Athens. Next time on the broadcast, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.